Leadership File on Premier.
Welcome to the Leadership File with me, Andy Peck, the show that helps to change the way you lead. Most of us first heard of leprosy from Bible stories, but leprosy is a condition that affects hundreds of thousands of people today, particularly those who are poor and marginalised. Thankfully, the charity The Leprosy Mission of England and Wales is at work seeking to serve those affected, and I'm joined this week by its national director, Peter Walker, to talk about the ongoing challenges and what it's like to lead the charity. So welcome, Peter, to the Leadership File.
Good. Well, thank you, and it's my pleasure to be with you.
Splendid stuff. Your journey to be Leprosy Missions Director, without going back to your school days, but your just brief career thus far?
Sure. Okay. Well, I've been in the Christian leadership sector, mission sector, since 1992. Prior to that, I was 10 years at the Stock Exchange and was part of the Stock Exchange in the city when we went through this thing called Big Bang in the mid-80s.
Oh, well, yes.
Was very, very senior at the Stock Exchange. But the Lord has his way of taking people on different journeys. And he brought me out of the Stock Exchange in 1992 into prison work through Prison Fellowship, which was a dramatic change.
I can imagine, yes.
For me. The Lord brought that opportunity to me through a friend whose father was going to retire as the director of Prison Fellowship. And David, my friend, came to me one evening and said, "My father's going to retire from Prison Fellowship, and I think that God might be calling you to take it on." And I thought that David had gone completely mad, because I was doing very well at the Stock Exchange with all the material benefits of being senior. But my wife, who's very discerning, said, "No, I think that God might be speaking to us about this." So we prayed about it, and after a short journey of investigation, decided to apply, and the Board of Trustees appointed me. So that was my transition into Christian leadership from secular leadership. I was then in the Prison Fellowship for 15 years as the Director for Prison Fellowship in England and Wales, then moved to Prison Fellowship International for 5 years, 2 years working from home into Eastern Europe to help develop prison ministry there, and then the last 3 years in Washington, D.C. And then in December 2010, three people on one day brought my attention to the vacancy of the National Director for the Leprosy Mission, which had been vacated, sadly, because my predecessor died in post, which was very, very sad for the mission. And God has got my attention by three people completely independently of one another, bringing my attention to this vacancy. And I thought, well, that's not you know, too much of a coincidence. So I again reluctantly applied. I was enjoying prison ministry, enjoying living in Washington, D.C., but God had other plans, and the board offered me the position. And so we came back from the U.S. In February 2011. I took up post here in March.
Well, so you were enjoying two roles, which God called you out of, you know, the
That's
stock
right,
exchange
yeah.
into...
Which is, and yeah, it was bizarre because, you know, I quite anticipated that we'd spend at least another 3 years in the States. I'd been in prison ministry for 20 years at that point, and you think, well, if you're in a career and a ministry for that long, then that's where God wants you to be. But suddenly to be drawn out from 20 years in prison ministry into an area that I knew nothing about. I mean, I didn't even know that leprosy still existed, quite
right.
frankly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know anything about medical mission or how the leprosy mission operated. But in the same way that when God called me out of the Stock Exchange, what he was wanting me to do was to apply my understanding and learning and skills that he'd given me and the opportunities and experiences he'd given me at the Stock Exchange to bring those to bear in a leadership of a Christian mission setting. So he wanted me to understand how we developed leaders around the world in prison ministry to do something similar with leprosy mission.
So it just goes to show you don't always know what you have that God might want to use. because you didn't know the situation into which you were coming. But exactly. But when the Lord, you know, when you follow the Lord, then all is well, of course.
Absolutely.
So I mean, I suggested in the introduction, you know, most of us recall learning about leprosy as the disease that Jesus healed, you know, and but your website tells us that, and I did read, there's 210,758 new cases of leprosy diagnosed globally in 2015.
So that's right,
around
that's
one every 2 minutes. So it's clearly very much a challenge. What form does the disease take today?
Well, it's still, it's very much, it's a disease, it's a bacterial disease, which affects the nervous system. So the first indications of leprosy is typically a lighter patch on the skin, which has no feeling. So you can sort of, it's quite easy to diagnose when you see that patch. But if it's not diagnosed, and then what happens is that the bacteria affects the nervous, the nerves to the extremities, so you get a loss of feeling in your hands and feet, which cause, when you cause damage to your hands or feet, you don't feel it, so they become ulcerated. You lose the sensation in your hands, you lose the ability to use your hands, so people can't work. You become disfigured. So all the stigma around that that comes along with that as well. But the tragedy is that it is so easy to treat, and we are able to cure the disease very easily once it's been diagnosed. Even the drug company, Novartis, give us the drugs for free. We don't have to buy the drugs to actually cure the disease, but we do have to pay for the health workers to administer the drugs, etc. So the tragedy with this disease is that it still carries exactly the same stigma that the people affected by leprosy that we read about in Scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But the issue now is that we sort of plateaued at about 200,000 new cases every year. It was over 1 million new cases 20 years ago. We've got it down, but that last push to actually eradicate this disease is proving to be a real challenge for us.
And how old is the charity?
We were formed back in the 1870s, so we're 140 years old.
Gracious.
There was a Christian missionary and his wife went to India from what is now the Republic of Ireland. They saw that there was this huge leprosy problem in India, and they set up what was then known as the Mission to Lepers. That's the root of the mission, and we still hold very true to our Christian values and our Christian ethos.
And so the aim is to obviously eventually eradicate, but also to obviously to treat as many as you can of the condition. Yeah,
that's right. So we have probably three main areas of work. It's to diagnose and treat as early as we can, and cure, because that's possible. For those people that have late diagnosis, we then support them and through reconstructive surgery, if that's possible as well. And then the third area is what we call livelihoods, helping people to get skills and be reintegrated back into their communities and to the workplace.
So describe the leadership challenge you've faced since arriving in 2011. You mentioned that your predecessor had passed away, so there was a degree of grief within the charity. But what were the leadership challenges you faced, Peter?
Yeah, I think the principal leadership challenge I faced was that the building that we operated was, I would describe it as making a really good doctor's surgery. There was lots of individual offices with lots of corridors, and we have an office team of around about 25 people at our office in Peterborough. But there wasn't a great deal of interaction amongst the teams. Everyone was working really hard, but there wasn't a clear strategy of what we were doing, and there certainly wasn't a clear prophetic vision for the mission. So when I walked through the front door, I had two prayers. My first prayer was, Lord, why have you brought me here? I was in prison ministry for 20 years. Why have you brought me here? And the second prayer was, Lord, who have you given me to work with? And so I needed to spend some time understanding what God was doing. And my first question to the team on my very first staff meeting was, what is God saying to us now? What is God saying to this mission in 2011 as it was then, as opposed to 1874 when it was formed. And there wasn't much of an answer. So I said, well, what we need to do then is we need to spend some time just listening and seeking God's purpose for us. Now, we know the general purpose. We know that what we're doing is, you know, we're out to serve people affected by leprosy and their communities. We understand that, but we actually need to get a much clearer vision for the way that we operate. And we then spent a year. I said to the board that let's not be hasty in setting up a strategic plan. I could easily write a strategic plan. That's not a problem. But I said, actually, you know, what we need to do is we really do need to get what God is saying to us. And so we spent a year as a staff team, often in prayer times together, just saying, well, what is it, God, you're saying to us? And at one prayer time, this was about a year into the process, so we're now into the beginning of 2012, we had all the staff together. We broke the staff up into groups of five to pray. And in one group, at the end of that prayer time, after praying for about 45 minutes, one of the groups had this, said, well, we've got this picture of a well. Right? And another group said, well, that's interesting, because we were drawn to look at Genesis 26, which is where Isaac unblocked the wells that his father Abraham had dug. And the hairs on the back of my neck stood up, and that's a sure sign that the Holy Spirit was there. And I said, that's it. God wants to say something to us from that particular passage and that imagery. And so we then spent some more time praying about, well, what are the wells that have got blocked up that we need to unblock? What are the new wells that we need to dig? And what are the old wells that we're trying to draw from that have dried up and we need to abandon? And that's been our prophetic vision for the last 5 years. And what we've done is, for every activity that comes along, we say, how does that fit with that imagery? And we've just seen God bless us amazingly with unblocking wells and digging new wells, but we've also been courageous to abandon things which were no longer functioning or working.
Wow, that sounds wonderful, Peter. Well, you've been listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Peter Walker. He's the National Director of the Leprosy Mission of England and Wales. We'll be back just after this. Welcome back to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Peter Walker. Peter's the National Director of the Leprosy Mission of England and Wales. We're talking before the break of how there's several hundred thousand new cases of leprosy diagnosed globally each year. That number's come down somewhat over the last decades. And Peter was just sharing about how God clearly led him and the team there towards a new project when he arrived in 2011 of unblocking the wells, as it were, and building new ones. And that's been something of a prophetic mission, vision for the last 5 years as they've been involved. So the high points of your time, Peter?
Because we are what we call a resource-raising country, there is no leprosy in Europe anymore. You know, leprosy has disappeared from Europe, not because we had an anti-leprosy campaign, but the human body, God has created our bodies and our immune system to be able to resist the bacteria of leprosy if we have good water, good sanitation, and good nutrition. And so people sometimes say to me, oh, aren't you concerned about going out and meeting with people affected by leprosy and staying in the leprosy colonies abroad? And I say, no, because, you know, my body's immune system is strong enough to resist the bacteria. So there is no leprosy in Europe because just those things have increased. You know, we've got good water supply, we've got good sanitation, mainly thanks to the Victorians, and our nutrition is good. But where leprosy still exists, it's a disease of poverty. So one of the challenges that we've had is then how do we raise money to support where leprosy still exists? And so we are a resource-raising country in England and Wales. And one of the significant high points to me is that when I joined, we were sending about £3.4 million overseas to projects. And because of our prayerful application of the wells prophecy, by unblocking wells, digging some new ones and abandoning some, we've seen that raise from 3.4 million to 5.5 million in 4 years.
Well, that's wonderful.
Which has just been the blessing of God, and we're so grateful for that. So that's a real high point for me. not just the money itself, but the way that the team has operated now, the way that we've changed the culture of the organization. God has brought in some just great people into the office who are committed and passionate and wanting to see the, you know, the mission grow.
Well, that's wonderful. And of course, we at Premier partnered with you on the Feet First campaign last year, which was recently shortlisted for the fundraising campaign of the year, a campaign our listeners got behind. What impact has that campaign had on people in Mozambique in the last year? And what have you learned as an organisation through that experience?
Yeah, I just want to say to listeners of Premier how much we really appreciated that partnership. And many of the listeners would have contributed to that UK Aid Match campaign. It was designed to really take the Mozambique work up a whole level. And we set a goal of ourselves of raising £400,000, which so that's £400,000donations from people like the listeners of Premier Radio. And then the UK government would match that to make it £800,000. We actually raised £1.2 million. Which meant that the UK government matched that £1.2 million. So an £800,000 campaign became £2.4 million campaign, three times larger than we anticipated. And what's that done is that has completely and utterly transformed the work in Mozambique. There are communities in the north of Mozambique in a place called Cabo Delgado, which are now receiving great treatment, community-based rehabilitation work. We've been able to set up whole new livelihood activities, as well as providing individual support, particularly footwear. That was the whole thing about the Feet First campaign, is that people who lose sensation because of the disease in their feet, I mentioned about their hands earlier, but also in their feet, if they tread on a sharp stone, they don't feel it, and then they get ulcerated feet that if it's not treated can easily become gangrenous and then actually need amputation. So by providing simple sandals that they can wear, they can actually protect their feet from damage. And the whole Feet First campaign has significantly impacted that. We've been able to provide thousands of pairs of sandals for individual wearers in Mozambique.
So, Peter, you're actually coming to your end of your time as national director. I understand you've, you know, announced that you're moving on. What have you learned in your time looking back? If you're looking back at those 5 years you've spent as national director,
I think that the thing which has been reinforced with me, something which I learned at the Stock Exchange back in the 1980s, but has really been reinforced again during my tenure as the national director here, is that it's all about people. Leadership is all about people. I've been taking some of my team here. I took the senior managers through a program, and now we've taken it down to the second tier leaders and now to the junior staff, based on John Maxwell's book, The 360 Degree Leader.
Oh, yeah.
Where his proposition is that you can lead from anywhere in the organization, that leadership is all about influence. And what we've done here is we've deliberately wanted to empower the people of the individual staff. So we give people responsibility, but lots of authority to carry out that responsibility. And what my delight has just been, as the national director, to recruit, induct, develop people, then step back and just watch them grow. And I can sort of imagine that happening with Jesus and the disciples, you know, that initially he's a bit concerned about them going out and doing things, but actually the only way really to get people to grow, to get organisations to grow, is to get people to grow in those organisations. And that's been a particular thrill to me to relearn that, if you like, and then see that worked out.
Well, that sounds terrific, Peter. And in terms of your time those years and allocation of that time, and particularly with the overseas travel, how have you decided what to allocate your time to?
Okay, much of my time has been spent in the office supporting new initiatives, helping the creative juices to flow. I'm a great believer in making sure that the board, the governance board, of the mission are well informed about what we're doing and that they have a rightful responsibility, and I'm accountable to that board, so I meet frequently with the chairman of the board. So a lot of my time is taken up in just, I guess, what would loosely be known as sort of administrative work. But I do also carry an advocacy responsibility. So I go out and speak a lot on behalf of the mission, engage a lot with other chief execs. I take time out to engage with Christian leaders of other missions to hear what God is saying to them and learning from them. And then I do travel overseas, not a huge amount. I have a really, really good programs team who are international development experts. I'm not an international development expert, so when I go, I tend to go a bit like the Prime Minister or a member of the royal family. I thought it's a bit of a, you know, oh, people want to see me because I'm the National Director of England and Wales. I don't add a great deal in terms of monitoring the evaluation of programs. But what I have done is been able to spend time with the country leaders and with their teams to input into their teams and actually see their teams grow.
Yeah, and Peter, the public talk about compassion fatigue. Sometimes you read about it in the media. You've had 5 years of working. Has it been tough to keep buoyant yourself in the work?
Not really, because we're so passionate about the cause, you know, yeah. And we see the need. I think that if the reason I'm moving on is not because I believe that the job is done here. Far from it. And I don't know whether you want to talk about what I'm about.
Well,
to
yes, if
to
you're, I'm very, very happy to. Yeah. I didn't want to. Ask questions that were needed to be discreet or whatever, but feel free.
No, yes. That's fine. So just let me respond to the compassion fatigue. What we have noticed is that our supporter base, we've got about 40,000 individual supporters each year who give to the mission. Some of those give once a year, some give by direct debit, so they're giving every month, and everything in between. They are incredibly loyal. Trying to acquire new donors is becoming very difficult for charities generally. It's also becoming more of a challenge for us because people aren't aware of the disease. So a lot of our work now is also about communicating the fact that leprosy still exists. Because, you know, I mentioned earlier, and I'm sorry to say that I didn't realize it still exists until I started to look at applying for the position of National Director. So I don't think there's compassion fatigue in that Christians aren't giving. I think that the Christian church and individual Christians are still incredibly generous. In fact, the most generous body of donors. What is interesting is a number of secular charities have realized this, and they're now actually targeting the churches to give as well. I mean, I won't name names, but I was talking to a couple of those recently, and they said, well, you've got an advantage on us because you're talking to churches and churches give. We're just starting up a church campaign, and they are not Christian missions, they're not Christian Christian charities, but sure, they recognize that it is Christians who give because they have Christians have got generous hearts.
And you're going on to do what?
So what's happened is that The Leprosy Mission of England and Wales is one of 32 countries in what's called the Global Fellowship of Leprosy Mission. And there, if you think of it as a bicycle wheel, the Global Fellowship is the rim. Then you've got 32 spokes, and there's a small hub of that bicycle wheel, which is called Leprosy Mission International. It's a small secretariat office that operates out of Brentford. And the new international director there has invited me to join his senior management team to help develop the capacity and competence of some of the country leaders, particularly the resource-raising countries in continental Europe. Some of those are not performing well, and so I'll be going off and working with him to actually try to help those countries to do the sorts of things that have happened in England and Wales, but clearly God will be speaking differently to those countries. So I'll help those national leaders to hear from God and to implement plans and strategies to increase their income for people affected by leprosy.
Wonderful. Well, time's defeated us, Peter, but it's been terrific to chat with you. The Leprosy Mission website for people who want to find out a bit more?
Yes, it's just leprosymission.org.uk. Lots of information there, and we would be delighted to hear from people.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. You've been listening to Leadership File. Do listen to Leadership File archives. Go to Premier's website. You can find On Demand, and you can go to the iTunes also and download all the former shows. I look forward to your company again next Sunday at 3:30. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.